Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Woodlawn United on this beautiful sunny morning in February. And a little bit in advance, happy Valentine's Day. By the way, if you want to play a game, there are a bunch of pictures of couples from many years ago, maybe 60s, 70s, 1970s, when they got married out on a collage that's made out there. You should see if you can identify who they are for fun. It's kind of fun.
We should have a prize.
Yeah. Maybe we should have a prize for somebody who gets them all, right? Do we have anybody today who has announcements that they would like to make? Oh, here comes Ralph. While Ralph is coming forward, I know Jack will particularly want me to announce how the Raptors have got 14 games they've won in a row.
Yeah, it's me again. Last Sunday, we had a concert here. And there's a little bit of a story that goes with it, and I wanted to share it with you. A while back, June Rigdon approached me and with an idea for a fundraiser, and she said there was this couple of gals who were known as Fantastics, and they had some friends, June being one of them. The other thing she said was that they were willing to come and do a concert, and they weren't going to charge us anything for it. So we did it last Sunday, and I got to tell you, they did a wonderful, wonderful job. They were here 2 weeks at least practicing, then they had a dress rehearsal, so they really were well prepared. But last Sunday was an awesome afternoon. They had costumes galore. They worked very hard at it. They did a wonderful, wonderful show here. And I talked to Eleanor afterwards, and I said, Eleanor, you had some expenses. We must owe you something. She said, Ralph, I'm so enthused with what you people do here at Woodlawn, with your expansion and with your accessibility and all of those things. And she said, I just wanted to be part of it. So, no, there are no expenses. $2,100 is what we brought in last Sunday, and I would like you to applaud that group. Next Sunday night, we've got Country Classic coming, and this is, I believe, the fifth show of these people, and they bring people as they did last Sunday, and a lot of people that aren't from this congregation. And a lot of those people get here and get to see what's going on, and they come back for other events. So, Country Classic next week, the Sidewinder Band, and all of the guests that they're bringing along with them. And then, in 2011, I met a guy by the name of Brian Doherty, and he's one half of the Evans and Doherty Show. And they've been here 5 times in the past, and they're coming back in March. And I'm just amazed, we've hardly let the word out yet, and we're getting phone calls saying, you got Evans and Doherty coming again? How much is it? When is it? What time is it? And so we were getting calls last week, and there's only been 2 or 3 little mentions on Seaside yet. So we'll be selling those tickets downstairs the next few Sundays, including today. But they're an awesome duo. They've been together for over 35 years. They're like an old married couple. And they tease each other and they carry on together. But their music is awesome. So come on out and see them. And one final note. Last year we hosted 2 dinner theater nights for the Fort Wallace Players. And we can't do it this year. But they are putting the show on, and I would encourage you to go. There's a poster out there. I mentioned it to Couples Club a week or so ago about this possibility of us going, and 37 of us are going on the 28th of February. So if you want to go to their shows, they're selling out quickly. They had the first one last night, it was sold out. 28th, I think, now is about sold out. And I would encourage you to go. And these are our Christian friends, sisters and brothers. And as I travel around to Fort Wallace and St. Luke's over here and to Cold Harbor United with posters almost on a weekly basis now, the reception I get is really wonderful. And St. Luke's last week, when we postponed the chowder till this coming Friday, she sent an email out to their whole congregation to tell them about that. That's Christian ecumenism and whatever you want to call it, was wonderful. Thank you for all of your support.
Right. And thank you for all you do, Ralph. Okay. Any other announcements? There are a few that we want to highlight. First off, our annual meeting is coming up, not next Sunday, but the 23rd of February. Will be our annual meeting. On that Sunday, we won't be having announcements. The service will be a little bit shorter, followed by the annual meeting on the 23rd. What else?
And Kelly McNeil
is... Kelly is here. Kelly, you have our welcome ambassador today, so if we have anyone that's new, please see Kelly after the service, and she'll give you a little tour and an orientation to us, and maybe introduce you to some people, which would be great. Okay? There was something else. I was asked this morning about a TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday that we had originally announced coming up on grieving and loss. It was originally supposed to be this Thursday, the 13th, in the afternoon. Jody Clark had to go to Montreal, so it's now going to be on the Thursday after Easter in April that he is coming.
So the 16th.
The 16th of April. 16th of April. But this Thursday afternoon and the following Thursday, the 20th in the evening, I'll be doing Bible 101, if you will, an orientation to the Bible, what it is. We'll just actually have a look and kind of pretend you know nothing about it, and just kind of base information about the Bible, what it is, and a few ideas of how to interpret. So I invite you to come to that in the afternoon on the 13th, and in the evening on the 20th.
That's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
2 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah, and 7 o'clock in the evening on the 20th. All right. Any other announcements?
Don't think so.
Any other announcements? So you probably have seen in the bulletin, we're not doing
the greeting
because we're concerned about infection at this particular point in our history. So what's next?
Celebrations.
Celebrations and birthdays. That's right. Celebrations and birthdays. Do we have any celebrations and birthdays?
Yeah, one right there.
Yes?
So,
birthday.
Birthday.
Birthday, okay.
Diana.
And back here?
Wendy, happy birthday.
Wendy.
Wendy. Oh, okay.
Way at the back.
Happy birthday, Wendy.
Happy birthday.
All right. Others? My granddaughter is 10.
Oh.
Gemma. Yes? Over here.
And
you plugged the Raptors earlier. Yeah. I got to plug the Oscars tonight.
Oh, the Oscars tonight. Okay. The Oscars tonight. Celebration. All right. Others? All right, let's sing. Congratulations. Would you join me now in our statement of reconciliation? As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq.
May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people.
Come, beloved people of God.
We come to worship.
Come, salt of the earth. Come, light of the world. With thanksgiving for the ways of Jesus, we come. Our first hymn is God of the Bible.
Thank you.
This is February. It's still a very busy time in a lot of people's lives, and it certainly is a busy time in the life of the world. There's so much going on out here and in here. I invite you now to a time of centering, a time of reminding ourselves in the midst of everything we are and are going through, God is with us. As we light this Christ candle, we remind ourselves that God is here. Let us pray. Remove the blinders from our heart and our spirit, O God. Help us to see and to feel your presence with us as we worship and celebrate you today. Put all those things that may distract us to one side so that we may indeed hear the word that you would have us hear this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Light is gleaming. How y'all doing? Good. Lots of hockey going on in your life? Yeah. All right. Very good. Woke up at 5 this morning? Oh my gosh, those ice times really early in the morning. Yeah, they're no fun. Yeah. So today, the scripture that Mary Lynn is going to be preaching on. Oh, first off, I should tell you, Shannon is off this week. You know what she's doing? She's packing and cleaning her house. Major question.
She's what? Moving.
She's moving. I heard that. Yeah, moving to Truro. You heard.
She's doing the church there?
Yeah, she's going to do the church there. Yeah, awesome. Anyway, but not for a while yet. Not until the end of June. So Mary Lynn today is going to be talking about salt and about light because Jesus, when he was sitting on the mountainside, was telling people all kinds of teachings, and one of the things he talked about and used was the image of light and salt. And he said, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." What do you think that means?
Yeah? Isn't salt very important?
Salt is very important. It's crucial. Yeah, very important. And it was even more so back then, because it was for seasoning and for preserving, and it kind of adds flavor to things, and yeah, it's really important. And light, they didn't have street lights or lights like this back then, no electricity, so light was very, very important. But there were two groups of people that at that time in Jesus' religion, in Judaism, who were having a debate, a little bit of an argument about how much they should be involved with people that were not like them. No? And there was one group that says, we should take our light, the light that we have from God, and we should keep it just for ourselves. We should kind of keep it off, you know, and we'll wait. We'll wait for God to come. And we'll wait for, because God doesn't feel like God is here, because the Romans were controlling everything, and you know, we just need to keep our light and keep it safe and keep it off to one side and just for our little group. And then when God comes, then we'll bring it out. But Jesus said, no, I have a different idea. Jesus said, you know, God is already here. God is already here. And we need to be spreading this light and making a difference in people's lives. And so today, I am going to actually light this candle from the Christ candle, which is kind of what we do. I think I'm going to light it. Yeah, there it is. And because Jesus is our light, And Jesus talked about how much God was here and God loved us. And he said we should spread that kind of idea everywhere. And Jesus said, you know, you guys that want to keep the light all to yourselves, he said, light needs oxygen to breathe. And so if you hide your light under something, like a bushel basket or a snuffer, what happens?
It disappears.
Oh, it's supposed to disappear. There it is. It's gone. Yeah, it's smoking. We won't tell anybody about that.
Smell it.
There we go. So if the light is hidden under something, then it kind of goes out. And he said, that's kind of like for all of you as well. You have a light within you of God's love that we know through Jesus. And you should spread it and let everybody else know about it so that it can make a difference. Make a difference. Even if it feels sometimes like God is not in full control, you still got to spread God's love and God's presence and God's light everywhere. And it's kind of like a light, like a candle. And you guys are like lights and like candles, spreading the light everywhere. All right?
Fire needs oxygen.
Fire needs oxygen too. It does. So let's pray. Loving God, you who we know in Jesus,
help us spread your light.
We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I think it's time for Sunday school and for youth group in room B or over in the building. The older folks are going over in the other building. All right.
It's lost something kind of crucial.
You've got to stay bright to be the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth.
But if that salt has lost its flavor, it ain't got much in its favor.
You can't have that fault and be the salt of the earth. So let your light
much good without a wick.
You've got to live right to be the light of the world.
You've
got to live right to be the light of the world. So
I'm reading the scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid, No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. From the reading of this scripture, may you hear the word of God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation that comes from those words be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Salt and light. Two very different things, yet both are referred to by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light are different from each other, yet they are the same in that they are both part of God's creation. Jesus even used the words salt of the earth. We know that salt is part of the earth, that it comes from the earth, and that God created light, giving us the sun for daylight and the moon and stars for nightlight. Therefore, salt and light are important simply because God created them. But how can God's people be salt in the world? People that follow Jesus, that model their lives after Jesus, are different from those who do not. Therefore, followers of Jesus are distinctive, like salt as a food flavoring is distinctive. Now, I did some research on salt. Salt that is taken from deep down in the earth is known as a crystalline mineral, which we call rock salt, such as this pink salt candle holder that can hold a tea light. This particular candle holder, when lit, is salt and light working together. Is it lighting?
It's actually lit.
It's lit, but we can't see it. Okay.
And it's not under a bushel.
The light, whether it's a candle or a light bulb, as in a salt lamp, is thought to enhance the air around it. Together, the light and salt are believed to have various health benefits, such as cleaning the air in your home, soothing allergies, boosting your mood, maybe even helping you to sleep. You feeling any better over there?
It's so small.
It'll come. But one thing is for sure. Salt is essential for life. In fact, saltiness is one of the basic human tastes. It is one of the oldest and universal food seasonings and has been used for thousands of years as an important method of food preservation, such as back in Jesus' time. Today, table salt is made up of just under 40% sodium by weight. So 1 teaspoon of salt contains about 2,300 milligrams of sodium. Sodium is a necessary nutrient for human health. It has a distinctive role as an electrolyte, which means it helps nerves and muscles to function properly, and it helps to regulate the water content in our body organs. People need salt to live. However, everything in moderation. Too much salt in the diet can increase the risk of cardiovascular diseases. In this case, we might say, light on the salt. Now, what does this have to do with Christians being the salt of the earth? Well, we are distinctive as followers of Jesus Christ. We have a distinctive discipleship which could be noticeable to others by the things we do and say. If we do and say things that acknowledge the goodness of God as the source of life and love, then we become the distinctive flavoring that the world notices and needs. We remind them that God is real and active in our lives through our acts of compassion, forgiveness, and love. But we can't be distinctive from others unless we are visible. In other words, let's shine the light on the salt. We have to be involved in things that show our distinctiveness and that show others we are needed in this world. That's where the other use of salt comes in. The preservation of food. Metaphorically, Christians could be thought of as salt that prevents corruption or dishonesty or things disintegrating or falling apart. We preserve the goodness of God in the world through our compassionate actions of love, kindness, and justice. This helps prevent the breaking down of things in the world, like human relationships. Perhaps even the relationships we share in our own homes. Disciples of Jesus, whether they flavor the world they live in or prevent its corruption, ultimately make the world a better place. Speaking of relationships in our own homes, people that spend time together, like families, have an impact on each other's lives and the way they're lived. I'm going to give you an example of a real family where two parents were very different when it came to the way they expressed anger. One parent, who was a little more impatient, would say some not so nice words when something went wrong. Their young child just wanted to put her hands over her ears so she didn't have to hear it. The other parent, no matter what went wrong, never swore, ever. I found this amazing. I've often wondered at the difference between the two. Perhaps it was genetic makeup or their upbringing. Perhaps one spent more time at church or in Sunday school than the other. I don't know. But this is the important thing. It's good to model our lives on Jesus, who was seen in the Gospels as very calm and peaceful, who always spoke words of healing, showed compassion, and taught his disciples about the love of God. The way we present ourselves to others is important and highly influences them, especially children. Using Jesus as our model makes us distinctive and good to be around, especially when things in the world are chaotic. Evil seems to be so evident today, whether it's mass shootings, missiles that shoot down an airplane carrying hundreds of people, acts of war that cause thousands of people to flee their country, or impeachment proceedings of a world leader whose words and actions cause fear around the globe, especially now that he's been acquitted. How can we be light in the world? We see Jesus as the light of the world. In our reading today, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on the top of a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp only to put it under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine in front of other people so that they can see the good you do and give glory to your Father in heaven. My commentary on Matthew has given me some thoughtful ideas. The hilltop town or city is significant here. It's made up of many lights together in one place. Our society today is more inclined to be made up of individuals all keeping to themselves, sitting in front of their computers or TV screens. They may each have the light of Christ in them, but if they don't gather together with other Christians, the collective light won't be as bright as it could be. The more light there is, the brighter it shines. The hilltop town shines brightly in the dark, much more so than one person standing on a hilltop holding a lamp. So, we can be individual lights shining brightly, you in your small corner and I in mine. But we also have to come together and shine as one bright light. So we do this each Sunday morning when we gather here. We shine brightly when we worship God in this place. People in the area can see that it's important to us. Our vehicles are parked outside, so it's obvious we're here in worship. We do shine here. But what can we do to make our collective light even brighter outside this sanctuary? That will have a positive impact on someone else. Yes, we host the East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank in our Heritage Center next door, and with other churches, Woodlawn volunteers are there on Wednesday and Thursday mornings. And we have a secondhand clothing outlet, a prayer shawl ministry, a fish chowder ministry, and a funeral ministry that reach beyond our faith community. But are there other ways we could shine God's light further afield? How can we be a brighter light on a hill? Perhaps that's a future discussion when this church is visioning together to figure out other ways we can be the light of Christ in the world. Light is brightest when it's dark. Light dispels the darkness. So we definitely don't want to hide our collective light, especially as this world gets darker, it seems, every day. Jesus wants us to share our light with others, to help them see that the good work we're doing in this world gives us purpose and peace. Perhaps they'll want that too. If they always see us as calm and helpful people, always forgiving and loving, compassionate and kind, then maybe they'll want to know why we're like that. Why we're calm when most people would be cursing. Why we go and offer help when most people would turn away simply because it's easier. And if people ask us, even though most United Church people don't like to witness, we should tell them the reason we're loving and helpful. That God, our creator and sustainer of life, loves us all unconditionally. And we acknowledge that. Jesus Christ is the bright light inside us. And our faith, our belief in the good news of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and was raised to new life, is the reason for our new life. And this is why we have the strength and motivation, the yearning to do God's work in the world. We trust in God, so we live God's way. And Jesus said in the last part of our reading today that he came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Jesus came to love us and show us how to live so that our lives matter. We matter to others when we help them. We matter to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we matter to God. So we live not for ourselves, but for God. Everything we do and say as followers of Jesus is for God. That way, we give God the glory. So back to salt. If salt could actually lose its saltiness, then that means we could lose our distinctiveness and we would no longer have anything to contribute to society that would flavor it with God's love. Nor could we help prevent the world from corruption. But remembering that Jesus calls us the salt of the earth will help us to be faithful in following his teachings. Together, we'll strive to listen for God's voice, so we'll know which direction to go and what to do that will be doing God's work of justice and spreading kindness in the world. If we hide our light under a bowl, then we won't shine anymore. We won't be that good influence on our son or daughter, our spouse or our grandchildren. It's important to find a way to let our light shine brightly, both as individuals and collectively as Woodlawn United Church. The world needs that light, and it's through Jesus' disciples that it becomes visible. People stumble in the darkness and become lost. They need the light of God's people to shine brightly, to help them find their way back to God. The good that we do together in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, is the light. Let's shine together to show others that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light that this world needs. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. morning, church. I'd like to highlight the East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank this morning in the Minute for Mission, or the Woodlawn Minute. The East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank is sponsored by five churches: Stevens Road Baptist, St. Luke's Anglican, St. Thomas More, and Iona Presbyterian, as well as Woodlawn United. Each church has two directors on the board. Woodlawn's directors are Evelyn Weber and myself. In 2019, 4,507 souls were supplied with food, representing 1,852 households. This number represents folks who visit each month and other clients who come less often. Approximately $25,000 was spent for food. This is over food donated by individuals, corporations, and Feed Nova Scotia, our major supplier. This funding comes from individuals, groups, and the supporting churches. The board appreciates all this support. 2019 has been a year of radical change at the food bank. Thanks to the trustees of Woodlawn, renovations were completed to enlarge the footprint of the food bank, a new accessible washroom was built, and with the help of a grant from Feed Nova Scotia, a separate room was built to welcome clients and update their information in a private setting. The floors were also refurbished. The new bright, clean surroundings are appreciated by the clients as well as the volunteers. Another big change. After almost three decades leading the food bank, Pat Rodenizer has stepped back from her duties. Pat's commitment to the food bank has allowed this ministry to flourish over the years. The Outreach Committee with Council is planning on recognizing Pat's work at the service on March 1. The first Sunday of each month is Food Bank Sunday, and on this Sunday, March 1, let's everybody bring lots of food, and we will build, I was going to say, a food wall up here, but walls have a bad connotation lately. So let's call it a food bank. And if you bring food, we'll honor Pat by putting it up here at the front of the church. I would like to introduce the new coordinator of the food bank, Shireen Tuil. Shireen is a member of St. Luke's and has worked closely with the board on several projects over the last couple of years. Shireen, thank you for taking on this important task. Thank you, Shireen. I'd also like to thank Woodlawn for its ongoing support of the food bank. Thanks to Reverend Mary Lynn, who interacts with the clients each Thursday morning and meets with them and listens to their discussions and concerns. So don't forget, March 1, bring armloads of food, and in that way, we can build a food bank to celebrate Pat's work here for the many years that she operated the food bank. Thank you.
As both Mary Lynn and Brian have mentioned, there are many ways that Woodlawn United makes a difference in people's lives as individuals and in the community. And as part of our response to that mission and ministry, I invite you now to give your offering. The offering will now be received. hearts are full of gratitude this day, O God, for all your many gifts to us. Take these, our gifts, our offerings, for the work of this church, for the coming of your kingdom. Use them as they are needed, we pray. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And while you're still standing, would you repeat with me our new creed, a new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the world made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Before I do the prayers of the people, prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, I wanted to bring to your attention the website on united-church.ca. On there, you will find a number of pieces of information about how the United Church of Canada is responding to some of the events further afield from here. For example, there is a website on there of the United Church and how people are responding with help for those affected by the coronavirus. There's another one on there about the moderator has written a letter of response to the proposed peace plan in the Middle East by Jared Kushner. So there are things that kind of take us beyond here if you want to connect into united-church.ca for what the United Church of Canada is doing further afield. Let us pray. Loving Creator God, you who give us guidance through the Scriptures and through Jesus of Nazareth, we come this morning to give you thanks and to praise for all the many ways life and love comes to us. We thank you for the good news of your presence and your love for all people. We pray that you help us spread that light without restriction. We thank you for your Spirit within us and bringing healing and renewal. We think of many particular folks in our lives who are sick, who are in need of knowing your presence, and we pray they open themselves to you. We thank you for the truth that sets us free, the truth that will not be silenced, despite those in many high places who try to lie and manipulate us. Give us the spirit of discernment. We thank you for the hope you give us when anxiety and despair gets us down. And there's enough reason for that in the world today, but you call us to be people of hope. Help us to be so. We thank you for the compassion shown for all those suffering and still suffering from climate change around the world. Especially again this week, we continue to remember those in Australia who are now not only dealing with fires, but a new, a special hard outbreak of the coronavirus. We celebrate the work of scientists and medical people in fighting against disease like the coronavirus. Help us to be smart, but not let our lives be dominated by fear. You call us as an Easter people not to live in fear. We pray for our neighbors to the south and for our own government leaders and the leaders in all the countries of the world that they be attentive to your voice in their hearts and in their minds. And finally, God, we pray for all those seeking your will for the mission and ministry of your church here at Woodlawn and future leadership that may be needed. Help them in their discernment as well. And now, spoken out loud and in the silence of our hearts, we pray our individual prayers. Don Trider. We pray all of these things, spoken and unspoken, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So our closing hymn today is A Light and Gleaming, but verses 2 and 4. What? 2, 3, and 4? 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
bless and keep us. And may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us all, empowering us to be Jesus' disciples of salt and light in this world, so that we may be a blessing to all people and give glory to God. Amen.